Our scripture this morning comes from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. May the word of God fall afresh on your ears this day. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Now that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have, I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. You Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. I have been paid in full and have more than enough. I am fully satisfied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we've talked a lot about what it means to follow Jesus, not to be of this world while we're in this world, and our three simple rules that we are trying very hard to abide by, to do no harm, to do all the good, to stay in love with God. And we know in order to do that, we need to focus on Jesus. But sometimes things get in the way of our focus, and things get lost in translation. Bad things happen. It's part of being in this world. It can be overwhelming. There are crazy, crazy days. And I remember being in college, and the rain was pouring down that day. And my commute usually was 20 to 30 minutes long from my home in Bridge City to Lamar University. And I went the most direct path with the least amount of traffic that I could find, because I don't like being in traffic. I don't like being around lots of people, even when all those other people are in their own vehicles. That almost makes it worse. And that day, of course, the traffic was extra bad because of all the rain. And it was bumper to bumper to bumper. And we weren't even on a main thoroughfare. I had taken an exit off. And this road had 6 lanes, I think. Or maybe it was 4. You know, after 20 years, your mind gets really fuzzy. But I remember being in, I think it was 6, because I kind of remember being in the middle of the lane. And I guess my tires were balding and I did not know. I was in my bright red Dodge Shadow with a hot pink pinstripe. And cruising along with my music playing. And all of a sudden I hit a patch of water. Now mind you, I was in the middle lane. Traffic on the left of me, traffic on the right of me, and on the left were 3 other lanes of traffic, and the only thing that separated us was a median. And in this median, there were spots where, you know, you have the, what are they called, with the cement and the grass kind of in the middle, and then an S, whatever. One of those, several, you know, and then it would break up, and you would have where you could turn in. Well, I hydroplaned in the middle of all of that, and my car started spinning. And And, you know, you think, I'm going to die. And all of a sudden, it was a matter of seconds. I was in a ditch. Nothing had hit me. It was bumper-to-bumper traffic. My car actually went through to the left through a turning section. I didn't hit whatever one of those was. And I made it through all that oncoming traffic, and I made it into a ditch. And I thought to myself, I'm going to be late for school. How am I going to get out of this ditch? Who am I going to call? Oh my goodness, this is the worst day ever. The whole fact that my poor little guardian angel must have been working really hard that day for me to not have gotten hit, because when I look back now, I think, oh my goodness, what an absolute miracle. I wasn't hit. But in that moment, all I could think of was all the bad things. All the bad things. Being late for school, being put out. How am I going to get out of this ditch? It's raining. Now I'm going to have to get wet. And you know, it was really before cell phones. I had a bag phone. Do you remember those? So I got out and kind of looked at my surroundings. My shoes are wet. I'm getting wet. And I see these metal buildings, and today I do not remember what company this was, but I saw some men in kind of in a workshop setting. And so I went and I said, hey, I'm stuck in this ditch out here. Can you help me out? And miracles upon miracles, they said, well, actually, yeah, we can. I didn't even have to make any phone calls. They came out with some truck something and got me out of that ditch and sent me on my merry way. I was maybe 10 minutes late for class. And I look back now and I am so very, very grateful for what I know what I could have experienced that day. And the horrible things that I missed out on that day. And the very next day, I bought those guys donuts and with a note telling them, thank you for being my angels, and brought them into the shop and just left them there for them because I wanted them to know how grateful I was. And the further I get from that day, the more grateful I am. Sometimes it's like that. We're in the midst of the bad. We don't see the blessings immediately. God could be leading us to those cool streams and those green pastures, and we are actually sitting there. But there are those days we're sitting there and all we see are the mosquitoes, the ants, the bugs, the sun's too hot, the breeze isn't blowing. All we see are the bad things instead of the good things. And then there are those times when in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, and we are so angry, and we call out to God, why? Why am I suffering? What did I do to deserve this? And my thinking is, we have no idea what God is actually holding back, because we haven't experienced it. There could be so much more pain and grief that we could be experiencing if it weren't for God holding it back. And because we don't know what God is holding back, we don't know to be grateful. I just wonder about that. So remember that our lives aren't as bad as sometimes we believe that they are. To remember that in the moment they are the best that they can be. And there is always, 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 always something to look for to be happy about. But instead, we let it steal our joy. We'll let things steal our joy. We'll let people steal our joy. We'll let the lack of something we want steal our joy. Why are we so quick to give that away? The other day, I was bringing Emily and Jalen home. Emily's my daughter. Jalen is our next door neighbor that is Emily's age, and they are two peas in a pod. And something just upset Emily. I don't remember what it is, but she was, oh, I do remember what it was. We stopped off at Walgreens, and I got them snacks, and she wanted to eat them in the car, and I told her no. Well, that was it. That's all she could see was that big N-O, and it was huge, and it was raging, and that is all she could see. So we got home. I said something else to make her mad because that's what I do. You'd ask Mac. I don't mean to. It just comes out. And so then she looks at me and she got, poor baby, has tears in her eyes, and her eyes can get so big when they well up. And she storms upstairs. So I take a deep breath and I give it a moment. So I go upstairs and she's hiding in her closet. So I open the door. And I said, why are you letting this get to you? Why are you letting this ruin your day? And she goes, I'm just so mad about having to wait 7 minutes to eat. So I got down on her eye level and I said, is there something else bothering you that you would let this upset you? No, Mom, I'm just mad. Okay. Let's try this again. Why are you letting these few moments when you had such a wonderful day at school, you were just telling me how great it was, why are you letting these 7 minutes mess up your day? She says, I'm just mad. I understand that. But why? Why are you letting this get to you when you can be so happy? You can choose to go back downstairs and eat whatever you want right now. You're missing out on that opportunity because you're choosing to be upset. That understanding of one, we can master our emotions. We can choose to let things steal our joy. And actually, I wonder if it's just letting things steal our joy. I think it's just when we just give it away. Why would we choose to exchange joy for anger? Why do we do that? But we do it all the time. And it's something that we learn at a very early age. And I can't tell you the last time that I felt angry that I thought, this feels good. How about you? I can think of the times when I was joy-filled and felt so blessed, felt absolutely amazing. And there are days I decide to exchange that for being angry, for letting those things blind me, like that one thing blind me to all the wonderful, wonderful things that are all around me, but that one thing, I can't see past it sometimes. Maybe I'm the only one, but I doubt it because it's a human thing. That realization that we get to choose. There are so many things that we allow to step in. Sometimes it's lack of material goods. Come on, we live in America. And no matter what our situation is in America, we've got it pretty good. We've got it better than 70% of the rest of the world. If you have running water in your house, something that we take for granted every day, something that we won't even say thank you for on a daily basis, do you realize the majority of the world doesn't have that? I remember the first year I went to work at Marvin, and my senior pastor was John Robbins, and he had talked about going to Africa. and they had to walk to get their water, miles some days, with these big, huge buckets. Do you people know how heavy water is? It's heavy. To go find and gather water and bring it back to the family. And he was asked, and he was so embarrassed. He was asked, "Will you have running water in your house?" "Yes." "How many taps?" And he had never counted them before. "Do you know how many taps are in your house? Off the top of your head?" Mentally, you probably have to go room by room by room and then walk the perimeter of your house on the outside, because those count too, the amount of taps. So he did that. And he told him, "You have that many taps in your house?" It's mind-blowing. And it's something that we're blind to being grateful for. You know, there's days I look in my closet and go, "Man, I wish I had something else to wear." And I think, how blessed am I to have a choice of what I get to wear? For different times of my life, for daytime and bedtime, for special occasions, everyday wear, church wear. And within those categories, I have all kinds of stuff that I can choose from all those categories. And there are people in the world who are lucky that have one set of clothes. And they don't have anything to wash them with. And we take that for granted, and we want more. And that dissatisfaction, that discontent within our own heart, that drive, that desire for more, will steal us of our joy. It's absolutely amazing that when you go to other countries, those who have less are actually happier because they've learned to be content with less. And actually, not even knowing that they have less, they're just content with what they have. We misconstrue and misunderstand what contentment is because we have the choice to pursue. We have the choice to get more, and we do. And I tell you, folks, I'm the worst. I'm a hoarder. There are certain things that I like to hoard. And I'll see those little videos on Facebook. You know, there's one from this little family. They do parodies. "Why do you have to have so many kinds of soap?" "Me? The kids? We only have one kind of soap. Why do you have to have so many?" "I don't know. But I do. I do." But this contentment of being satisfied and knowing that every good thing that you have that is a blessing to you, to walk through your home, to walk outside of your home, to walk anywhere, to be anywhere and be grateful, to be grateful, to be grateful. And to understand that all good things come from God. Philippians, if you jump up a little in Philippians. We read chapter 4 starting with verse 10, but if you jump up chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Well, guard your hearts and your minds. That no matter what our circumstance is, and I know some of you out there have had some really awful circumstances. They have been overwhelming circumstances. That the scripture, there's a reason the scripture encourages us, even in those awful, awful, awful circumstances, to find something good to focus on. Because the opposite is true. that when something bad happens and we focus on the bad, the good fades away. Well, when you look past the bad and you see all the good, guess what happens? The bad isn't as powerful anymore. The bad isn't as big of a monster as it once is. It's painful, but it's not as bad as we perceived it before. That in every circumstance, all circumstances, any circumstance, the good circumstances, the bad circumstances, and everything in between, when we go to the Lord and God, we go with thanksgiving. I worked with a coworker, Reverend Marilyn Watkins. She's a deacon for the United Methodist Church when I worked in Cyprus. And she asked, "What are you doing tonight?" And I'm like, "I got to go to a meeting." And she just grinned real big and she goes, "You get to." That turn of words, that turn of phrase from "I have to," "I've got to," to "I get to do this." I get to go to a meeting. I get to serve. I get to share my time with these other individuals and plan and focus. I get to! Yay! And even though I may not feel it in the moment, that turn of phrase will help me at least find some gratefulness in it. What she was trying to teach me was, don't let the have to's and the got to's steal your joy in the situation. You get to do this. You get to lead out. You get to be a part of something bigger than yourself. You get to share your gifts and your talents. You get to. You get to save the day sometimes. You get to. Even though there are times you don't want to, you get the opportunity. To be grateful for all situations, because all of them, all good things come from God. And if it comes from God, well, then we should stand up and notice. And we should trust. Learning to trust is the very last thing when we talk about thankfulness and gratitude. It says, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today," says Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. But we rather worry. How many of you like to worry? Oh, some of you will admit it. How many of you just worry? Yeah, we're worriers. Yes, we are. But every time we worry, we forget there is someone greater than us who loves us. It doesn't mean that we just kind of lay back and go, "God, you take this. I'm not going to worry about it anymore." We're still active participants in all of our situations, but to realize that God is at work in this too. We have a partner in this that is more powerful and greater than we can ever imagine. God may not put it all right at all the same time, but we know that God is active in all of it. And to learn to trust. Learn to trust. And then Jeremiah, some of you, this is your life verse. Jeremiah 29:11. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare or your good, and not for your harm, to give you a future with hope." That God's not only active in your life, but God has amazing plans for you. But we are a stubborn and stiff-necked people. We want to pursue what we want to pursue, and we'll let things get in the way, including our petty emotions. But in order to be truly, 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 truly grateful, to trust God and to not worry, and to know that all good things come from God and that God's active in our life, but to really understand deeply within the very core of your being that God is enough, that Jesus is enough, the presence of the Holy Spirit that abides in you is enough. His grace is sufficient. It is enough. Every day, it is enough. And to be grateful for that enough, that with each day that passes by, we have enough. And that discontent can be pushed away so our soul can rise up and say, I have enough. I am grateful and I am joy-filled. And my life abounds in God's abundance. That is abundant life. Abundant life isn't about the perfect life. Abundant life isn't about having every whim and heart's desire being met. Abundant life is knowing that God is enough. Always and everywhere, in every circumstance. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As the band gets back up on